This morning, I want to share something with you that I've shared before, perhaps in the past. And I have three stories to tell you this morning. The second story is about the one who our denomination's name is taken from, the story about John Wesley. The third story is about y'all's, that's about you. We all step into the story on the third story. Now, the first story, though, is about me. And it's a story that almost ended me. If you have your bulletin in front of you, there is a picture of a pack of pickled peppers. I don't know. It is a bunch of habanero peppers. Anybody ever eaten a habanero pepper before? It's an experience. Well, let me take you back. We have a youth conference that we went to in Louisville called Follow a few years ago. And we went down there with a bunch of teenagers. And the Sloan boys were with us. And that would be some of these guys sitting right here. Doug. And one of his is right there. Where's the other one? Right there is Jesse. We were down in Louisville, and it was just us. It was me and the Sloan boys, and we were talking. And this is what men do, oh, by the way, ladies. There is a bravado that comes over us, and we would like to try to up one another. I don't know if this happens to the ladies, Sonny, but it happens to the men all the time. We want to prove who we are, especially around other men. And we got to talking down there in Louisville about how we like to eat hot foods. Now, I had been through a period of several years of my life where I wasn't able to smell and therefore I wasn't able to taste. So I started eating hot foods just so I could have some sort of sensation going on in there. And I thought that I had become a hottie. I thought that I had come to the point where I could eat hot food and be okay. Now, we have a resident hottie right over here, Rick Raines. My goodness. There might be others in the room, and I'm going to get to them in a minute, but my goodness, I thought I was a hottie until I see some of y'all's be able to do this. But we were talking down there, and the Sloan boys were talking about how they could eat habanero peppers. Now, I had never experienced a habanero pepper. Now, I would eat jalapeno peppers, which are like little babies compared to habaneros, and I would eat them whole. Like a pickled whole jalapeno pepper, I would have that in my salads and stuff. And I thought, it would bring most people to tears. And I thought, yeah, I love it. And it tastes good and it feels good. And it doesn't bother me at all. And I thought I was a hottie and we were bro-ing it up down there in Louisville. And then Doug Sloan says, the next youth group, I'm going to bring some habanero peppers, and then we're going to have a habanero eating contest because the middle boy, Derek, said he could eat a whole habanero pepper. And I said, I can eat a whole habanero pepper. And then I secretly started praying, Lord, let Doug forget. Don't let him come with these. The next youth group, when we got back from Louisville, was in a little Sunday school classroom right down this hallway. Here comes the Sloan boys into church that evening. And Doug had a little clear plastic container filled with habanero peppers. And he had the same grin on his face coming through the door that he has right now on his face. Turn around and look at Doug. That is the grin he had on his face. And he comes in, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I've already broed it up. I got to step up. Before we go any further, I want to show you something. There is a way to measure. When you eat hot food, spicy foods, this is what, there's a chemical called capsaicin. And that capsaicin can be measured. And the higher the measurement, the hotter the reaction that you have in your mouth. And there is a unit of measurement called the Scoville scale. And you could find any pepper, its capsaicin level on the Scoville scale. Now, I want Teresa to show this. You might not be able to see it because it's kind of far away. Show that image, Teresa. Right about a third of the way up is the jalapeno pepper, the one that I was used to eating. It ranges all the way up to 8,000 Scoville units. 8,000. About a third of the way down is the habanero chili. 350,000 Scoville units. In other words, 50 times hotter. 50. If you were to eat one habanero pepper, it's the same as eating 50 jalapenos. Or if you were to eat one jalapeno, it's equivalent to slicing one habanero up into 50 little pieces and eating that. Just one piece. I knew the range. That's why I prayed. Don't let him come. But he did, and he was there, and we were going to have the challenge. And we were gathered in this room. Derek picks up his pepper, and I picked up my pepper by the stem. And I just, at the very end, you know how a pepper will have a little round part on the end? I just nibbled off the little end part. And I thought I was going to die. Just from the little end part. But then Derek, big tough lineman on the football team, he takes his pepper by the stem, puts it in his mouth, pulls out nothing but the stem, goes over to the trash can, throws it down, does one of these to me, and he just sits down, crosses his arms, and begins to chew. Completely stoic. Now, I hope you realize something, church. There is nothing that I wouldn't do to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing I wouldn't do to get a kid to go to heaven. Derek, I hope that that night showed you how much I love you. More importantly, how much the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, because I did this for you. I took my pepper and I put it in my mouth, pulled out nothing but the stem, threw the stem in the trash can, sat down, crossed my arms, and started to chew. And we're looking at each other. Now, I can't explain really what happened next. Can't explain this. I don't know what kind of reaction my body had, but all at once I felt like something was going to happen. And I put both hands over my mouth. This is like 30 seconds in, is all it took. Both hands over my mouth. Now, what I did not do was throw up. It wasn't vomit that happened. It was something else. Both hands over my mouth. My saliva glands, all at once, with enough force to expel the entire quantity of my saliva across the room. Through my fingers, saliva shot across the room, hits the wall on the other side. It is unexplainable what is happening. And the children were saying, "Oh! Oh my gosh! Pastor Steve is dying! He's dying!" They're somewhere in the middle of laughter and fear. One of them prays her to this day. She races out of the room. Now, I thought, oh, the poor thing is traumatized. She ran to the kitchen because she knew there was ice cream in the kitchen. And she frantically gives ice cream in a bowl and she runs it back into the room. Allison Meek, Maddie Meek's oldest sister, saved my life that day, Derek, by bringing me ice cream.
Did you share it?
Not with Derek. Technically the winner. I go home that night. Baby is here. She is sitting in her chair, and I come into the room where she's at, and I just lean against the doorpost, and I'm just looking at her. And she looks at me, and she could tell something. And she goes, "What did you do?" "What I always do." Not something, not very smart. Don't do this at home, kids. Do not try this. 50 times hotter. Never again. Never again. That's not even the highest thing on the scale. I'm not, Rick, I know you do this for breakfast. This is the hottest of hotties right here. I want Rick and Derek in a contest. Who else wants this, church? Who else wants this? Yes! We will have ice cream for the loser, but not for the winner. All right, here's what this story has anything to do with the Lord God Almighty. It has a lot to do, actually. Because I felt things going on that I've never felt before. It really caught me by surprise. I thought I could do this. But I felt things that I never felt before. And the founder of our faith, John Wesley, and I hope that you're somewhat familiar with John Wesley. John Wesley was born in 1703 in England. He grew up as a preacher's kid. So his father was a pastor of the Church of England, church. And he became a pastor in the Church of England. He actually went to Oxford University, and he became a professor of theology there. Even as a young man, he was teaching about God, he was professing God, he was claiming God's good news to humanity. However, John Wesley himself had not prayed fully for salvation yet. You surprised by that? I was surprised to hear that. He was a pastor of a church and a theology professor, but yet even at the age that he was at, 35 years old, he had not yet given his life fully over to Christ until one night in 1738, at the age of 35, John Wesley, at a small group meeting in London, he felt the Lord stirring within him, and he gave his life to Christ for the very first time. And there's a very famous quote by John Wesley that he gives, and it's the title of this morning's sermon. "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Now, where that applies to me, I felt more than just my heart strangely warmed. But it was new and it was different. And for John Wesley, it was strange because it took him by surprise. You see, he had been told that he was trying to earn God's favor, but he had never really surrendered his life to the Lord God Almighty. So it was strange to him, this feeling. It was different. Something had happened within him, and the Lord God had done such a beautiful thing within him that night. The only way you could describe it is, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." That a feeling of warmness came over him that he had never experienced before. This feeling. Now I want to stop right there for a minute and tell you that it doesn't matter how many years you've ever gone to church. Some of you, hey, it's Liam's first day at church. But for some, maybe they've gone for years or even decades. The founding father of our entire denomination was a pastor and a theology professor, but he still had never fully surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This might be one of us today. We might find ourselves feeling like, well, I've just gone through the motions my whole life. I've never really surrendered myself over. I mean, I've gone to church for years. I've proclaimed God's goodness. I've shared testimony, but maybe I haven't fully surrendered myself. This is something that we all must do. And if John Wesley, a pastor and a theology professor, could surrender his life for the first time, regardless of what people would think of him, that might be us today. But pastor, I've gone to church my whole life. If I gave my life to Christ now, wouldn't I look like a hypocrite? Wouldn't I look like somebody who was just acting or going through the motions all those years? It doesn't matter what anybody would say. If Satan is telling you that right now, just kick him off your shoulder and tell him that maybe this is the day that I accept the Lord Jesus Christ for the very first time. And it's okay. And it doesn't matter if you've sat here for years, or if you've gone to church your whole life. You have to choose whether or not you are going to make the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Lord. You see, He is Lord. He is Lord. No matter what we choose to do with Him, the question is, will we make Him our personal Lord? And until you do that, you see, Grandma can't do that for you. Until you do that, you're on the outside of the family. Even though you might be in the house, you're on the outside of the family. You're not experiencing life abundant, life in the full. There is something amazing waiting for you if you take that step and you say, yes, I want everything. I want you at the center of my life. I've been just trying to get through life. I've been just trying to go through the motions. I read my Bible, I pray, and I go to church, but I have kept you. Maybe this could be your testimony today. I have kept you at arm's length, but it is time that I make you my Lord and Savior. There is a warmness that's going to come over your life, and it's going to last for all of eternity, I promise. Here's the thing. You don't know what you don't know, and until you take that step, you'll never know it. But when you do, you will have this feeling that will never leave you. John Wesley said, I now trust, for the very first time, I have the full assurance that God alone, has removed all sin from my life, and I have the full assurance that I am His child. If that applied to him, my goodness, who else would that apply to? Maybe many of us. A third story, and I want to share with you a little bit about the story of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, the entirety of that chapter, the Lord gives us the three lost parables. Now, that doesn't mean we can't find the parables. That means that in each of these parables, something is lost, and then it is found. The first one is about the lost sheep. The second one is about the lost coin. But the third one is about the lost son, or what we refer to as the prodigal son. Now, let me just give you some background. We're going to read this scripture, and then I am just going to invite you to step into this story, because the father in the story is the Lord God Almighty. And He's waiting, and He's looking with all of His heart. He wants His children to come home. But here's what happens. The father has two sons. And one of the sons comes to the father and he says, give me my share of the inheritance now so I can enjoy my life. And the father honors that. In other words, the father has given him free will. Oh, by the way, Wesleyans, we have free will to live and to spend our life how we choose to spend it. And he took his half of the inheritance and he went off to a faraway land and he squandered every bit of it. He wasted it. He had nothing. And then he realized that maybe he should come home, because he found himself working for a farmer, and the farmer was feeding the pigs, and this prodigal son, the one that had squandered all of his wealth, was in charge of feeding the pigs. And this is a man that was living in a mansion. He had everything. He had everything a young man could ever want, but now he found himself literally with his head in the pig trough, longing to eat the pods that the pigs were eating. And the scripture tells us that he came to his senses and he realized, wait a minute, I could go home to my father. At least I will be fed. I could go back home to my father and I could be like a hired hand. Maybe my father will hire me. Maybe he'll hire me as a servant and I can at least eat. Will my father want me back? The long journey home, I would imagine that he practiced and he practiced and he practiced what he was going to say to his father. And I just have to wonder, would this young man be thinking, will my father reject me? Will he want me? Will he turn me away? Will he say, you had it all and I gave it to you and now you just go about your life now away from me? Maybe that was on his heart. It would be on mine. But here's what the young man didn't know. That every day after he left, chasing after his dreams and after his life that he squandered, the Father was waiting. And not just waiting, the Father was watching. If you have your scripture, you can turn with me to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I'm just going to share a few verses here. And I just want you to get the picture of what the Father was doing for weeks, months, years, waiting for the Son to come home. And you need to realize as we read this together, this isn't about one Father and one man. This is about our Heavenly Father and humanity, us. This is each one of us because we've all been the prodigal. We've all gone off and lived our life how we wanted to live it. But the Father who loved us enough to let us go also wants us to come home. This is for you this morning. So he got up and went to his father. The long trek home. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, long way off, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, the only way his father could see his son from a long way off is because the father was looking for him. Every day, he would stand, looking out across the horizon, hoping that he would see a silhouette come across the horizon one day. And a father could know and recognize his own son's silhouette, looking and hoping. And wishing he would come home. You see, the young man that left would have been thinking, does my father still love me? Does he still want me to be a part of the family? Will he welcome me back? What he wouldn't have known, his father was looking for him every single day. The scripture says, he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. Church, if this is the day that you need to come home, just know this. The Father is waiting to throw His arms around you and to kiss you. And the Son said to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against You. I'm no longer worthy to be called Your Son. Father wouldn't have any part of that. But the Father said to the servants, quick, quick, bring the best robe and put it on Him. Put a ring on His finger and sandals on His feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. In other words, all of heaven celebrates when one sinner comes home. Just one. Because Father so desperately wants His children to come back. He's waiting and He's watching. This story is about us. You see, it doesn't describe that the father went and found the son. Maybe the father heard that the son had squandered his wealth and the father goes to the son and said, look, son, I know that you've lost everything. Would you come home? The story tells us that this has to be our choice. We have to do it ourselves. And it doesn't matter how many times you've sat in this room and heard sermon after sermon. It doesn't matter if how many posts you put on Facebook about your faith. If you've never really surrendered your life to Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity today as Jim and his worship team come. Maybe this is the day. Here's what it takes. The Apostle Paul says that it only takes two things. It takes belief and confession. He says this in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will. It's belief and confession is all it is. I believe in you. Now I confess that you are my Lord. I make you my Lord. You are Lord, but I make you my Lord. Maybe it's for the first time. Or maybe you want to recommit yourself right now. Maybe you've been that son who, well, you've stayed in the palace. Maybe you've stayed at home, but maybe you yourself have wandered a little bit. Or maybe you are that prodigal. Maybe you are that one that has went off. Or maybe you're somewhere in the middle and you just want to go before the Lord right now and say, Lord, Abba, Father, Daddy, I need a hug. I need you to embrace me this morning. Maybe that's you today, but you have the opportunity to do that. I think the best way to do that is right up here. And you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you recommit your life. Whatever that looks like to you, we all need this. The Father couldn't have seen the Son unless he was looking with great hope, great anticipation for his Son, who he loves more than that Son could ever imagine, comes home. If that's you today, I promise you, all of heaven will celebrate just like they did in this story. Whether it's the first time or the next time that you need to recommit yourself to Christ, this is your moment. But you are loved more than you can imagine. I promise you, you will experience something that Jesus said that he came to give us. Life abundant, life in the full. And until you know, you'll never know. But you might find, just like John Wesley, just like I did that night in youth, you might experience something you've never experienced before. You will. Your heart, your body, your soul, your eternity will be strangely warmed. It's strange because it's new. It will surprise you how amazing it is, but it will feel warm like on a cold day. It'll feel like that. And it will feel like that the rest of your life and all into eternity. Church, this is your opportunity. Brother Jim. John Wesley was 35 years old when he said yes to Christ. Now, that was the moment that everything changed for Wesley. As he had preached about God's goodness, but now he knew about God's goodness. And everything changed because he did something different then. You see, for the next 50 years of his life, 50, he traversed back and forth across England on horseback, proclaiming the good news of the Lord God Almighty to the lost and the broken. He took the gospel to them because now he could relate to them, because for the very first time, he knew and he had the assurance that God had saved him. 50 years back and forth. It's estimated that he went 250,000 miles in 50 years. That horse must have been very tired. But what he claimed that night when he accepted the Lord is the question I want you to ask yourself as we leave here. He claimed this: I felt for the first time that I had the assurance that God alone removed my sins, and I have full assurance that I am his child. Now that's the question I want to leave you with. As I send you out today, do you have full assurance? As the Spirit of God testified with your spirit, yes, you are mine, and I have removed your sins because you have made me your Lord. That's the question that I want all of us to ask ourselves today. It's not my question to answer. That's between you and the Spirit. Church, you are sent.